God good to you guys? Praise God. We are in our series of gratitude. And last week, interesting, because I asked you to take, if you were here, I asked you to take just a moment and walk through like a day, pick a day of last week from the time that you wake up and just try to find gratitude in your life. What's going on that maybe God's doing for you that we've taken granted of or maybe just don't always think about? And so how many of you did that successfully? And you're like, okay, I actually found a few things. Well, today is a little different spin, and it wasn't really even in the plans. We go over things as a team, and we have a series, and we have direction, and we're talking about gratitude. But as I was studying, God veered me in a total different direction, and I am just excited. I think God always speaks because you're speaking out of the Word. So when we're up here, you're hearing His Word. But sometimes as a speaker, when you know that that wasn't my plan, there's something special going on that you guys need that He's going to give you today. And I get to be privileged to be a part of that. And so think about this for a second. I don't know that anyone can fully grasp gratitude without first understanding its inception. Now, inception is establishing a starting point. So to fully understand gratitude, being grateful, being thankful, let's take that. Think just for one moment. Have some fun with me. Think to yourself, what are you grateful for? That's good, Kevin. That's a good thing. Your husband, your wife. Okay, kiss-ups. What else? God, your family. Freedom, protection, health, salvation. There you go. How'd you know where I was going, Galen? Okay, now, let's back up a second. When I said, hey, think about your day, when you wake up and you get started with your day and you're going, what are you thankful for? Well, there you go. As you get older, waking up is a pretty big deal anymore. Praise God. I'm here. Sometimes we can get down even to the small things. But what I want us to understand before we leave today is the inception of gratitude. Where did it first start? Where was it first established? Where can we actually stop and think, wait a second, even the act of being grateful, how was that given to me? Where did that come from? And that's what I want to talk about. And so I'm going to have some fun with you. We're starting partway through a chapter. Then we're going to go to the chapter before that. Then we're going to go to the starting of the chapter I started with. Are you ready to go? Because as I'm reading this, I think this is the way that God wants to help us comprehend it. So in the spirit of gratitude, in the spirit of thankfulness, listen to this verse, or actually a few verses. In that wonderful day, you will sing, thank the Lord. As I read these verses, I'm hoping a question will pop up to you. So stay with me. In that wonderful day, you will sing, thank the Lord, praise His name. Tell the nations what He has done. Let them know how mighty He is. Sing to the Lord, for He has done wonderful things. Make known His praise. Are you getting this? Sing to Him. That's loudness. You're getting out there. Make known His praise. Around the world, let all people of Jerusalem shout His praise with joy, for great is the Holy One of Israel who lives among you. Man, that's thankfulness, that's singing, that's shouting, that's proclaiming. There's a lot going on there. Does anyone have a question that popped in your mind as we read this? Let me help you out. You have a question yet? What day? I mean, does this stuff happen all the time? Just thank the Lord all the time. What day are we talking about here? Because we're studying the inception of gratitude. So to get that day, you guys remember our last series, we would take a verse and we would dig into it because some verses are just, oh, this is your verse. But no, what's the real meaning of this entire verse? And so you have to go back. So listen to this. I'm going back to the start of chapter 11. And it says this: out of the stump of David's family will grow a shoot. Yes, a new branch bearing fruit from the old root. And the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of fear, the fear of the Lord. He will delight in obeying the Lord. He will not judge by appearance nor make a decision based on hearsay. He will give justice to the poor. He will make fair decisions for the exploited. The earth will shake at the force of his word, and one breath from his mouth will destroy the wicked. He will wear righteousness like a belt and truth like an undergarment. And then the start of verse 6 says these familiar words: in that day. So right here, in that wonderful day, right here, guess who we're talking about? We're talking about the coming Messiah. This is the book of Isaiah. This is 700 years before the New Testament. This is a prophecy. And so he came from the line of David. So that was the day. So if we go to 11, same chapter, verse 10 and 11, it says this: in that day, and those words are just grabbing a hold of me. These are four powerful words in the Bible that I never realized. In that day, the heir to David's throne will be a banner of salvation to all of the world. Now, if you begin to tie in the New Testament here, God was the God of Israel. And I think his ultimate plan was for Israel to set the example. That wasn't working out so well. But God already had a plan. This plan was created at the beginning of time, that this Messiah, his son, Jesus, would come. And so here we are in Isaiah. In that day, the heir to David's throne will be a banner of salvation to all the world. The nations will rally to him, and the land where he lives will be a glorious place. In that day, verse 11, the Lord will reach out his hand a second time to bring back the remnant of his people. Now, in the studies, God reached out and he brought his people out of Egypt, out of slavery, into the promised land. But this second time, he's reaching out to all the world through salvation, through the Messiah. So now, are you tracking? We're going to go to chapter 12, verse 1. In that day, you will sing. I will praise you, Lord. You were angry with me, Lord, but not anymore. Now you comfort me. See, God has come to save me. I will trust in him and not be afraid. The Lord God is my strength and my song. He has given me victory. Now, I'm going to put verse 3 with 4 here, and we're going to read this again. I want us to really grasp this. With joy, you will drink deeply from the fountain of salvation. Who is our salvation? It's Jesus. It was the coming Messiah, that he would die for our sins, that he would give us eternal life. It's through that action of Jesus Christ that we are free from the penalty of sin, which means we now have that bridge to God. So in that day was the coming of Messiah that would free us from sin. In that wonderful, so saying that, with joy you drink deeply from the fountain of salvation, now 4 makes more sense. In that wonderful day, you will sing, thank the Lord, praise his name, tell the nations what he has done. Let them know how mighty he is. Sing to the Lord, for he has done wonderful things. Make known his praise around the world. Where's your world? Where has God placed you? See, we have, you want to talk about gratitude. At what point in life could you be so low that the salvation of Jesus Christ means nothing to you? It is always there. God says he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And I know we live life, we've gone through horrific times. I just officiated a funeral Friday for a friend of many of us, 60 years old, still alive and well, died a tragic death, and watching his wife wonder, how do I even act? And I haven't been through that. I'm not trying to belittle that, but I would say to that family in that day, be reminded of your salvation. Be reminded of who you are in Christ. He has you. He holds you. He knows you. He knew what you're going to go through. He knows where your husband is at now for serving him faithfully. In that day, that is gratitude. That is the inception of gratitude, that God himself gave us his son, our Messiah, that we could have eternal life if we simply believe in him. Is that not amazing or what? We need to, so how do we take this information and infuse it into your minds at all times? Because if we want to be truly grateful, I think we need to grasp, because many of us would say, probably all of us, I know this information, Matt. You're just telling us stuff that I already know. But how many of us get to a point to where we just kind of, we know it, but we don't act like it on a daily basis. This little thing happens. Oh, you've got to be kidding me. How many times have I told you, don't do this way? And you're showing anger to someone, you're getting upset, and then you go, and it messes you up. Anyone get messed up? How do you treat others when you're messed up? Not the nicest. But just to think, and I'm not trying to belittle emotions, but to let the truth grasp us and say, you know, this is a rough situation. But in that day, man, I have a Savior. I have an eternity. I have been given the truth, and now I've been given the ability to show people this truth. Man, I can act out right now with a lack of patience, with anger. I can belittle this person, or I can just be Jesus Christ in the situation and show them faith, and show them love, and show them grace. Because in that day, I'm good. That is gratitude. And when I read that and I studied it, I thought, we have got to grab a hold of what gratitude truly is. In that day, there's a depth of gratitude that encapsulates all else, and it's found in salvation through Jesus Christ. And this word encapsulates, I loved it, because who's ever taken a capsule? What does that capsule do? It holds the medication within it. And so when you think about, if we go back to last week and I say, hey, think about what you're grateful for. And you can say, well, my husband and my wife, and I woke up, and I had a bed I was sleeping in, and I had a home, and I had a car I could drive to work, which meant I had a job, which means I can make money, which means I can pay the bill. All those different things are in the capsule. Those are all things to be grateful and be thankful for. But the depth of gratitude is that capsule itself. And that is the salvation of Jesus Christ given to us by God. And so gratitude encapsulates all else and is found in salvation through Jesus Christ. That's just good, whether I preach it or not. I mean, that is just powerful. So I just want to pray. You guys ready? Do me a favor, Eric. Would you come up? Who could say to me honestly, man, I need a special touch from God, and I need it so bad, my hand is popping up. I need it. I need God to touch me in an area. Maybe it's emotionally. Maybe it's physically. Maybe it's for someone else. But something is so deep on your heart that Satan is fighting you with gratitude. Connie, I see that. Would you guys do me a favor? Would you stand? And I appreciate your honesty. Not too late. Keep standing. But it's robbing you from being grateful, because your mind is so sunk in, so just bit into this. All right, thank you. So church body, would you do me a favor? Would you join? I want you to gather around those. We're a family. We should act like a family. Maybe a little uncomfortable, that's okay. Family isn't always comfortable. Let's just pray over each and every person. Dear God, thank you. They're serious. They stood. They raised their hand. They're up. And God, there's a battle going on. So right now I pray that just the power of your word will just rest on them. And it's one thing to speak it, but sometimes we need to feel it. You know, sometimes we get all emotionally and we, you know, hyped up, and then we walk out and the same feeling just attacks us. So God, I pray right now by the power of the Holy Spirit, work in these situations. May they be reminded of what they're truly grateful for, that you are the God of healing. You're the God, our protector. You're our provider. You are there at all times with us. You never leave us. You never forsake us. That's who you are. That's really who you are. You truly are the way maker, because even when we can't see, hey, which way do I go? You just clear the path. So Lord Jesus, I pray, anointing fall on them, heal their minds, open up their hearts just to receive in these areas just a promise from you that you have us. And I pray over all of us, dear God. We're all going through life. We're all understanding what's around us. And if you're like me, you're still trying to understand ourselves at times. Holy Spirit, may we just lean on that promise that you are our way maker. You are our provider, dear God. May we just be reminded of those words every time things get a little bit hard in that day. Lord Jesus, you came for us, you died for us, and we know that you're coming again, because your word has not broken a promise that I've seen yet. In that day, dear God, thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, your will be done in each of our lives. May we walk in faithfulness. We take what you've given us on this day even, and just like your word says, shout it out, sing it out. May we tell the world, hey, this is what God's doing within me, God. People need the truth, and we have it. So may we have a spirit of gratitude that just speaks out what he's doing in our lives, even when it doesn't look like our lives are full of God's presence. But we know that through you, the Holy Spirit never leaves us. We pray this over each and every person in this building listening. Dear God, may your power rest on us, and may we walk it out and bless others with it. We pray this in your name. Everyone says, amen.